care what happens to Hillary. Get America back to honoring family again. Help us, Donald, please. Please. Make America great again. Make America great again. Make America great again. Please, God, help Donald Trump make America great again.
It's the most wonderful time in 8 years. Yet some kids are protesting while Trump fans investing their time with good cheer. Sing, it's the most wonderful time in 8 years. It's the happiest voting season of all. With each staff member, Trump picks Democrats up to their old tricks, just trashing them all. But it's the happiest election season of all. There'll be one party hosting, all three branches toasting, but how low now will the press go? They'll spin misguided stories, trying to steal Trump's glory from a playbook written long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time in 8 years. There'll be much more enjoyment, a lot less unemployment, 'cause Trump will be near. It's the most wonderful time in 8 years. Disappear. It's the most wonderful time. Yes, the most wonderful time. Oh, the most wonderful time in 8 years.
Oh, yeah. How can you not like that? That is from Dana Kamide. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing the name right, but big shout out to Dana Kamide who made that video, danakamide.com, and his YouTube channel, Dana Kamide. How can you not like that? Of course, as mentioned in The Most Wonderful Time in 8 Years, you do have the bad people in the press making up stories about Trump, trying to character assassinate him and bring down this country. And of course, you have the minions of the fake news, the hearsay mafia, the brainwashed zombies in the streets protesting. Well, that's because they don't want a job, they don't want a family, and they don't want success. So those of us that are interested in those types of things are enjoying President Trump so far, not even a year in office. Of course, the big news today, as far as the market is concerned, Trump job numbers out, unemployment at 17-year low, 2.2 million new jobs since election. More Americans are working now than ever. Jobs reports are beating expectations, even in the wake of the hurricanes. Hispanic unemployment rate dropped to 4.7, the lowest in the United States. You've also got black unemployment hitting record lows. This is all President Trump, and you still have, well, immature people protesting him in the streets. We'll be right back.
Let's make talk radio great again.
This is the War Room.
Yes, Yes, this is the War Room on Infowars.com/show. It is Friday, December 8th, 2017. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. My co-host, Roger Stone, will be joining me in just a bit. Loaded schedule of guests. Darren McBreen comes in studio in 30 minutes. Roger is going to have Jordan Sather on the air. And then Tommy Robinson in the third hour joins me. Weird developments coming out about Tommy Robinson. Not him, but how he's being, I guess, approached or looked at by law enforcement. Very strange stuff. We'll be sure to talk to him about that. Of course, Theresa May gets a terrorist threat against her. And you have basically the EU-Brexit divorce still trying to be figured out. So even though they voted for it, you know, the bureaucracies and the politicians, they got to figure out what the people really want, because even though they voted on it, well, they don't know what they really want. So we'll leave that to the bureaucrats. They're still trying to figure that out. Meanwhile, I've got probably 8 hours of content that I've somehow got to squeeze in here before we're out of here at 6 o'clock p.m. Central. Economy numbers are great. The stock market is continuing to surge. Unemployment numbers down. New jobs, 2.2 million since the election. I mean, this is just, you know, you had Obama. Oh, what's he going to do? Wave a magic job wand? What's he going to do, folks? Well, I guess Trump may have waved a magic job wand, because 2.2 million new jobs since the election. Of course, it's not actually a job wand. It's really just a pen when he repeals some of the Obama-era regulations on the EPA, on coal, on mining, on small business, etc. And then you have consumer confidence booming as well. That leads to a better economy. And then if you get the tax cuts, that will just add even more fuel to the fire. Of course, we do have some news on the tax cuts today. I'll be getting to that. A story on George Papadopoulos that I'll be covering. You do have the swamp drain in effect. You had Orr basically get drained that we covered yesterday from the Department of Justice. He just got demoted, but I think it was more of a drain than it looks. Now you've got Dina Powell, Deputy National Security Advisor, to depart Trump White House. I don't think people really are grasping how big this is. Because this, to me, represents the rats leaving the ship. This is the abandoning ship moment for Dina Powell. Now, Dina Powell's name has obviously come up as a leaker, a globalist, an infiltrator, and one we did not necessarily trust inside the administration. Well, why is she leaving now? Because the swamp creatures, the rats, are abandoning ship. And for the most part, Dina Powell has not gotten really, let's say she hasn't stepped in the quicksand, as far as we can tell, of the Democrat deep state collusion with the Russian probe, with the Uranium One deals, with the Clinton Foundation. She seems to have pretty much just kind of skated around the quicksand with that deal, and it's not eating her up. So I think that she's abandoning ship before she gets too close to the quicksand and it swallows her up, like it has other people, such as the Podestas, which we have an amazing clip of John Podesta. I can't believe it. He was actually did a public speaking event at Duke University. It went sideways real quick. You're going to want to see that video that we'll have for you later. So Dina Powell out. That's big news. Swamp draining itself. There was an interesting part of the Franken resignation, if you want to call that. It's not a resignation, it's an intention to resign speech that he gave yesterday, where he actually says, in the coming weeks, I will be considering my resignation. Oh, don't be surprised if Franken changes his mind all of the sudden after Roy Moore is victorious. Oh, very, very interesting there. You know, I've got so many clips here. I figured it not even reasonable to pull this clip. By the way, today on MSNBC, you can find this for yourself. MSNBC is live from Pensacola, Florida, where Trump's about to give his speech. And then a African-American Trump supporter walks into the back of their frame while they're live and starts waving his American flag going, Roy Moore will win! Roy Moore will win! And the entire MSNBC panel literally goes into a shock. They don't know what to do. It's really just incredible. Honestly, it's just, the Democrats are collapsing. The double standards of liberals are just falling all over themselves. And so all of that's good news. There's other stuff happening that's not so good. You've got riots over the, you know, look at this. This is so complicated. It's almost like, why do I even bother trying to cover it? It's just, Trump says that the capital is Jerusalem, says he intends on moving the embassy there. And now all of a sudden it's just rage, just rage all day. Where are all the Palestinians making their actual points as to why this is bad? I'm yet to actually hear that. So as someone trying to look at things in a neutral perspective, which is how I've taken this whole Jerusalem embassy thing, I'm just trying to look at it from a neutral perspective. There's good things, there's bad things. This looks bad for the people that don't want Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. You look bad. I'm not seeing any political points being made that I don't know. It's just weird. They're just raging for 3 days now. Meanwhile, 400 structures destroyed in Ventura County wildfire. The number is now approaching 120,000 acres. It's now moving towards San Diego, closer towards the LA actual city. In the midst of all that, you had 46 earthquakes as well in California in the last 24 hours. So, I mean, you look at everything that's going on in California, folks. Kate Steinle walks. You can give people AIDS knowingly, and it's perfectly legal. You can be an underage prostitute, and it's perfectly legal. You can have sanctuary cities where they basically just fund for non-citizens to be there, but they can't even afford to protect themselves from fires. And if you call someone by the wrong pronoun, you could go to jail. Meanwhile, you've had entrenched politicians like Nancy Pelosi and Maxine Waters. You know, the list goes on and on. I mean, California, folks, I mean, that's just a straight up disaster zone now. I mean, they already declared LA an emergency, a state of emergency because of these fires. The entire state of California isn't in a state of emergency right now. They're broke. They're in debt. They're running at a deficit. They can't even afford to help their own homeless. Yet somehow they'll do anything to protect non-citizens here. The equation is simple here, folks. It's 100% for votes. I mean, this isn't really a complex thing. The Democrats just want votes. That's the entire sanctuary city thing in a nutshell. That's how you can explain California being broke, nothing making sense. Yet somehow they have all this money to protect non-citizens. They want their vote, period. That is all that's about. So you've got all that going on. Meanwhile, Roy Moore accuser Beverly Nelson admits she forged yearbook. Now, this is incredible for a couple reasons. One, what Gloria Allred has now done, whether intentionally or not, is she has now destroyed any woman in the future that wants to come forward as a victim of sexual assault. So Gloria Allred, a fake virtue signaler towards women that she cares about you, has now scorched the earth for any victim of sexual assault that may come forward now in the future. Congratulations, Gloria Allred. You have now scorched the earth for any victim of sexual assault that may want to come forward in the future. Thanks, Gloria Allred, for your political agenda that you put above everything else. Really shameful and disgusting. But the other angle of this that people don't realize here, this same, if you applied this same scenario to a court case and you looked for one court case that you could compare this to, the O.J. Simpson trial is perfect. Because what happened? Why did O.J. Simpson get off from charges? Because the evidence that that was being used against him was tampered with. Do you understand? That's how serious this is. When you tamper with evidence, the entire case is now blown open and it's no longer a case. So that's now what's happened to Roy Moore.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle
belling. Man, why is Christmas music so good? Maybe it's just that Christmas time is so good. Welcome back to the War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. We're going to be joined by Darren McBreen in the next segment. But first, magically, miraculously, somehow, Gandalf Trump has waved his magic wand. The numbers are out. 2.2 million new jobs since the election. More Americans working now than ever. The jobs reports are crushing the expectations. Stock markets keep hitting records. Hispanic unemployment rate dropped to 4.7, the lowest in the history of the United States. And unlike all of those past Democrat leaders who said that they would do something for the black communities, President Trump actually has. Here they are breaking it down on Fox News.
John Lewis has continued his feud with the president. They're opening up in Mississippi the Civil Rights Museum, which is a great thing.
Yeah.
But the President Trump will be attending, therefore John Lewis says he will not. How is that?
Yeah, I used to have a lot of respect for John Lewis. He was a civil rights icon, but he's become so divisive, and I think that's part of him becoming a politician now. He goes along with the party. Look, you know, you can love or hate Donald Trump, but you can't deny the fact black unemployment is at a 20-year low. Under President Obama, it was double the national average. Black businesses are soaring right now. Food stamps for black folks are decreasing. And so what I see is a president that's actually trying to do something for all people, but the media doesn't cover that, which is why I've consistently said the president has to go on the road and talk about the accomplishments.
He's trying.
No one else will talk about it if he doesn't.
Exactly. But, you know, there's all these middlemen, the president, when it comes to
messaging. They just want to talk about Russia.
Me and Ivanka had a long conversation about this about a couple weeks ago. The president is his best messenger. And if the community sees the president on the road saying, look, this is what I did. Obama can't do that. I mean, black unemployment, double the national average under President Obama. Right now, a 20-year low. The media doesn't cover that. That's something that the community should know.
How dare Lawrence Jones on Fox News give you the statistics about unemployment numbers and the truth about what Barack Obama did to black people, if you want to relate it to the economy. Wow. It's really just amazing. And, you know, you can disagree with things Trump has said or done in the past, or you can look, Trump's not perfect. Nobody said he is, but you cannot deny, just like he was just saying, why would you just be sitting here in denial of someone working to help you get successful? I mean, it's really amazing. It's cutting off your nose to spite your face. That's what has happened now to all of these poor souls that have been brainwashed into just hating Trump. And it's actually incredible, because what we're starting to see happen here, and it started obviously with the campaign, but now it's kind of reached a tipping point, I think, for the political left, where reasonable and rational people who would have identified as a Democrat or a liberal or, you know, left-leaning are now so turned off by their own party's politics and so turned off at the culture that's forming around liberalism and leftist ideology that rational and reasonable people are just so turned off by that, they're just trying to get as far away from that as possible, that they just end up on the Trump train. Because that's it. That's the only thing making momentum. It's moving forward. And it might not be going the exact direction you want it to go, but at least it's not going backwards. That's what the anti-Trump movement is trying to do. They're trying to throw this thing in reverse and shut it down. Put the engine brake on. Trump is saying full steam ahead. We're burrowing forward. It might be a bumpy ride, but let's go. Who's on board? And so you're starting to see more and more quote unquote liberals coming towards Trump's side, simply because there's so much vitriol and hate and fake news and just anti-American scumbaggery going on in the political left right now. They just don't want any part of it. So yes, that's fine though. Continue to protest and complain about President Trump. Sooner or later, you're going to have to take a job. I know that you don't want the job and you want to go float around your college for 8 years or whatever and get some sort of degree and then maybe get some food stamps or something. I don't know. Complain about your student loans, whatever your deal is. you're going to eventually want to get a job. And then maybe you won't have time to cry on Twitter and to protest anymore. So you've got all that going on. You know, this is the stuff I'm talking about here. I mean, I'm talking about the toxicity of the left. Let's just go through this stack of news. So I already talked about the fact that you now have the Roy Moore accuser Beverly Nelson admitting that she forged the signature. That's right. The all of the fake news alt-right sites that they try to tell you is fake news. We told you that weeks ago. I remember being right here covering this exact story with Jim Hoft of Gateway Pundit 2 weeks ago, where we both said that signature's fake. And now we're proven right. But this is the toxicity that I'm talking about. I'm going to save probably the most disgusting thing I've seen in a long time from Planned Parenthood for the next segment. But you won't even believe that. You won't even believe what's coming out of Planned Parenthood right now. But I'm going to put that aside and try to just get through this and not just break down here. Rosie O'Donnell tweets this out. Why is no one saying Hope Hicks is Trump's lover? How did she get this job? Ask around. People know. Come on. Truth matters. Folks, Rosie O'Donnell's completely gone insane. Now, this all started because Hope Hicks is being, quote unquote, thrown under the bus by Donald Trump Jr., essentially saying that the reason for the miscommunication between him and his father in the White House was because of Hope Hicks. Did he essentially say that? Yes, but did he literally say that? No, and I think he was probably just trying to give the media something so they'd get off his back about it. But then the left freaks out and says, Hope Hicks is done. She's been thrown under the bus. Now she's going to turn on Trump. Hope Hicks will turn on Trump. And so that's where the 90% unhinged off the rail leftist is. But the 100% totally unhinged off the rail leftist, Rosie O'Donnell, now says Hope Hicks and Donald Trump are lovers. Rosie O'Donnell, folks. She's not trying to be funny there, by the way. Alyssa Milano. Alabama, Tuesday is the day you get to put your foot down and say no to misogyny, racism, and accused pedophilia. Make a plan to vote and bring 10 friends. Alyssa Milano lives in California, A. B, the accuser's accounts are now all into question because we found out about the lies, but she won't talk about that. And then I got to say this whole pedophilia thing, throwing accusations of pedophilia at Roy Moore, boy, I'd be taking names and getting ready for lawsuits because that's just absurd. Adam Schiff, why character counts? Obama in Oval Office, respected, appealed to the best in us, scandal-free, scandal-free. Trump in Oval Office, reviled, divides us, associates charged, a pedophile endorsed, again with the pedophilia. Again, now Schiff would be on my list. These people don't even live in reality, folks. They're literally unhinging themselves. They're untying themselves.
It sickens me to wonder what may go on with him if he gets into office, maybe, you know? He could be doing this still. We don't know.
She was 16 when she says Moore groped her and tried to force a sex act on her in his car.
He was trying to pull me toward in between his legs. It was terrible. And I was bound and determined that I was not going to be raped by him.
These allegations are completely false. They're malicious. Specifically, I do not know any of these women, nor have I ever engaged in sexual misconduct with any woman.
I was terrified. But the next thing I know, I'm on the concrete.
Young's proof that she knew Moore, her yearbook with this inscription.
She was a 16-year-old waitress in Gadsden, Alabama, when Roy Moore, who was then the local district attorney, didn't just hit on her or ask her out. She says he assaulted her. violently in his car, that he tried to force her into sexual activity and that he threw her out of his
vehicle. Fake news. Rachel Maddow's fake news.
And she is also, importantly, volunteering to testify about her experiences under oath.
This latest news about you is concerning. Voters in Alabama will never elect someone who's had relations with a minor.
You sure about that?
No.
But the president is standing by his man for a simple reason.
We don't want to have a liberal Democrat in Alabama, believe me. We want strong borders. We want stopping crime.
Yes, we want stopping crime.
Makes sense to me. Makes sense to me.
We
how about
just
you? Makes sense.
Not want stopping sexual assault.
Don't get it twisted. Women are not playing with you here.
That is about Roy Moore. We're talking about child molestation.
Yeah,
how do you put the party before children?
And didn't happen.
Sonny, we got
assault
we got
on
a,
children.
We got a hoo-ha grabber in chief in the Oval Office. That's how you do it. This is a playbook. This is right out of Donald Trump's campaign playbook.
This woman found a note in her scrapbook signed by Moore that says, "Happy graduation, Debbie.
Fake!
I wanted to give you this card myself.
It's
I
fake!
You'll be a success in anything you do, unless that thing is accusing me of writing you this card."
And she is fake. Also, importantly, volunteering to testify about her experiences under oath.
God
I'm
knows.
I'm so serious. Look at how I lean into the camera.
I know what happened.
The Democrats have just are making themselves into the party of family values, while the Republicans are now the party of people like Roy Moore, who are alleged to have molested 14 and 16-year-old girls. Which is
fake
the
news.
More long-lasting and appealing political brand? I don't even think there's a contest.
Come on. The left-wing media loves to repeat these sexual harassment stories. There's a new one every day, Mike.
There are moments in the past half century when, as Americans, we've been forced to re-examine our attitudes and ourselves. Vietnam, civil rights, gay rights. In politics, we're now facing the crucible of sexual harassment. Our revulsion at what we've learned and our uncertainty of what to do about it going forward. Is it time to demand the resignation of all politicians accused of harassment? Is it better to support an accused child molester of your own party than to have the other party win an election?
The revolt against sexual harassment and assault may in part be a backlash after Donald Trump's 2016 victory, when millions of voters overlooked more than a dozen allegations of sexual misconduct and put Mr. Trump in the White House, a result that triggered thousands of women nationwide to begin an anti-Trump movement that has flexed
an anti-Trump movement
since the inauguration.
This is amazing. So they're finally admitting what it actually is. And of course, the irony, Darren McBreen joins me in studio now. None of this, so Me Too wins Person of the Year in Time Magazine, right? Nobody will admit this. None of this would have happened if Hillary Clinton was elected. If Donald Trump didn't win, you wouldn't have the Me Too movement. Mm-mm. You wouldn't have Weinstein Gate. You'd have none of this.
But this is huge, man. I mean, she is admitting, this woman's name is Beverly Young Nelson. She is admitting that she forged this document. She forged the yearbook.
Yeah.
I mean, that is huge, man. And you were saying earlier how what an injustice it does to women who really do have sexual assault allegations and that may be true. And you know, it's just really tough. I cannot believe that this actually happened. But the great thing about when we watch over and over again, we watch the late night comedy, those guys, it's like a full-time job for me now. I record everything they say and they make jokes about all this and always comes back and bites them in the ass.
Yeah. Every time.
Mm-hmm.
Every time. And of course they don't care that
well, people have a short-term memory too, because they forget about it months
and
months
later. And
they're
just a comedian,
right? I'm going to remind them every time.
Their hands are clean.
Oh yeah. They're just making jokes.
Yeah.
But even these reporters though, they're accusing him not of just sexual assault. They're accusing Roy Moore of child molestation.
Well, pedophilia.
I mean, that's freaking huge, man. And pedophilia.
Well,
yeah.
And here's the key about that. Again, see, these people, unfortunately, they're not very bright.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't really understand the different levels that come along with the things they're saying. Like, for example, when they accuse him of being a pedophile, no, they don't understand. A pedophile is someone that has to have their hands on young children. It's a disease. You know, it's not something that maybe you dabbled in and then no. So they're making an accusation that is obviously untrue. But beyond that, I mean, how is it that they're calling him a pedophile, even though it's clearly not, they don't really have any activity, you know, that would allude to pedophilia going on here other than these fake accusations that just get proven more fake every day. But then they ignore everything that comes out with WikiLeaks. Mm-hmm. They immediately discredit anything at Pizzagate as fake news. So if it's them blindly pointing a finger and saying pedophile, then it's okay. Then it's good. But if we actually do research, look at documents, make connections, and then you have people behind the scenes actually looking into all these pedophile rings, police arresting people, well, there's silence there, though.
Well, and I think this has a lot to do with the Trump hangover still. Where it's over a year now since he's been elected. They're still throwing a fit. And even Roy Moore, their whole attitude towards Roy Moore and this whole conflict, this whole conspiracy has Trump written all over it, because the underlying factor is it has to do with Trump.
Yeah,
and you even heard we showed you that clip. They have to say it in the same breath.
Every time.
And it used to be racism. Now it's sexual assault. Now it's pedophilia. And basically the Democrats always blame, just like the Saul Alinsky effect, they blame their enemy for what they're guilty for themselves.
And this isn't us trying to play partisan politics by saying Democrats. We're just calling it as it is. I mean, this is obviously a Democrat hit job. This is a Democrat hack job.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not, I just want to be clear. That's not us trying to play politics and say, oh, Republicans good, Democrats bad. It's just, no, this is the Democrat hit job. But, you know, and the other angle to this, too, that I don't think people understand, just like with the pedophilia angle, is if they understood anything about legal precedent and investigations and evidence, they would know that as soon as this woman admits that she forged that signature, and as soon as she admits that evidence is fake, the entire case is thrown out. You can't use any evidence in the case anymore. You can't use anything in this case anymore. It's all tainted now. That's how O.J. Simpson got off.
Absolutely. And this is so careless by the mainstream leftist media, because they jumped on this and they ran with it without really looking into it. And that's what they always do. And you watch, if there's a retraction, it'll be on page 52. It'll be a very minor note. This will be downplayed. They'll move on to the next thing. Yep.
Which will probably be whoever is next to threaten their political establishment.
Trump.
Yeah.
It's always about Trump, man.
Well, it's just wild to me. Well, the thing is, though, it's a Tokyo Rose game that they're playing, with having all their parrots in the mainstream media and on television and what have you repeating this, making it look real. Like you said, the late night comics that try to bring this up.
Those guys are the worst, because a lot of people, and I've said this again and again, a lot of people, millions of people in this country rely, believe it or not, on late night comedy for their actual real news. They believe it, that like it's the gospel truth.
Well, the strange thing about it to me, Darren, is when I was a younger guy, let's say I was on the peak of the liberal indoctrination when I was in college. I never went over the edge, but I started to kind of flirt with some of the notions, you know, guns are bad, white privilege, that kind of stuff that they try to indoctrinate you into. But it's honestly reached new levels at this point. And I think that people are finally waking up to it, and even all of their Tokyo Roses trying to act like this is real news. But I was saying, with the late night comments, they used to be funny. Yeah. Like, it used to be funny. You could tune in and laugh at what they said. Now it's just nothing but political hit jobs all night. All right, we'll be right back. Moore's campaign has now made a public statement regarding the forged signature of Beverly Nelson, who accused Roy Moore of sexual assault, which all of the anti-Trump politicians, media, and entertainers have ran with as real news, even though it's fake. They've used that to accuse Moore of even being a pedophile, even though it's fake. Literally a fake signature. They all run with as real. A scorched earth now for any future victim of sexual assault that may want to step forward. Thanks to Gloria Allred. Here is the statement from Roy Moore's campaign.
We talked about some things, and one of the things that I said then was that, you know, anytime you have accusations, you have someone that's making the accusations. And there are times when it's true. And when it's true, it's absolutely horrible for the person who's making the accusations, both because of what they went through, but also because of having to come forward and make statements publicly. But there are also times when it is not true. And when it's not true, then it's equally horrible for the person that it's said about. And I remember,
and it needs to have legal. It needs to have legal repercussions.
Absolutely,
it's time to do something about that
person. But I saw him on TV.
It's been overdue, honestly.
He came out of church,
this might be the time to bring it in.
His wife, and he was with his mom. And I'll never forget the look on his mom's face when they walked out. So this has been horrible. It's been absolutely horrible for Judge Moore, his wife, his mom, his daughter, his sons, his granddaughters, his friends, his church members. People
that's the thing is,
the
man. These Democrats, they don't care. They'll ruin your entire life. Look what they did to Mike Flynn. They really do not care.
Been in over 100 meetings with him.
They're still trying to ruin Mike Flynn.
They will ruin an entire nation. They'll ruin America for their own political policies.
Inappropriate. Not one time. And that's the man that I know. And we hoped back then.
You know what? It's all coming back to bite these people. We're impatient. We want it now. But it's coming.
Somehow, something can come out to prove that it's not true. Well, guess what? It has. In this case, it has.
How about that?
Going to come at a better time. I mean, we're 4 days away from the election.
I mean, you want to talk about providence.
Beverly Young Nelson held a press conference. What they said then was either a lie, what they said today, or what they said today was a lie. And the voters are going to have to decide, were they lying then, or are they lying now, or do the voters think they've been telling the truth all along? But here's what they said. Beverly Nelson says he, referring to Judge Moore, she says, he wrote in my yearbook. He wrote in my yearbook. And then she wrote it out. She gave the full quote, and she said that it was signed by Roy Moore, Old Hickory House, Roy Moore, D.A. Gloria Allred then repeated it, and we're going to give these notes out to you, and I want you,
see,
members of the media,
and it's just like
please.
That other story where they said that he was banned from the mall. And then the mall owner comes out and says, no, that's true. Yep. That never happened.
Never happened.
And they still report that.
Because Gloria Allred repeated that statement that...
No, I guarantee you. I guarantee you. Watch CNN and MSNBC tonight. They'll still tell you that signature is real. I guarantee you liberal media will still say that signature is real. I'd bet it all. They said the exact same thing about him being banned from the mall.
They're not saying that anymore. They're saying that parts of it were not... written by Judge Moore.
Oh, so he's addressing it already. You're saying they're already still saying it's true.
So that we could test the ink, test the writing, and test everything.
These people.
We renew that demand today. Release the yearbook so that an independent expert, not your paid expert, an independent expert, a neutral
third party custodian. This is the key, Darren. You've got to ask them to put their money where their mouth is.
That's right.
And look at the ink so that we can find out is the ink.
This is bombshell right now.
Yeah. This should be as big of a story.
The
as
truth
Al Franken,
is out there, and until she releases the yearbook, all we know is they're not telling the truth and they've lied. And under the Alabama pattern jury instructions,
and why
it says it tells a jury if you believe that a witness has lied in anything, you can disregard. Everything
they did the same thing to Trump before the election.
Bingo! Here, pause it right there. Can we pause it real quick? This is the key. This is the key. The crew is running around doing great work back there. Rewind it 10 seconds. This is exactly what I've been telling you. This is a legal precedent. This is how O.J. Simpson got free. Anyone worth their salt who's passed the bar understands this. Listen to what he says right here about the fake signature. This is everything.
Anything. You can disregard everything they've said. So again, Gloria.
Here, it was right before that. Just rewind it a little bit before that. So what he's saying is, again, if you know anything about legal precedent and you are anyone that followed the O.J. Simpson trial, you will know that any time evidence has been proven to either have been tampered with or be false, the entire case is blown open and you've got nothing.
Same goes with honest journalism.
That's true, unless you're Brian Williams. Yeah. So let's go back to Roy Moore's campaign giving this public statement right now, saying this is so key, the legal precedent behind this fake signature now.
40 years old. The truth is out there, and until she releases the yearbook, all we know is they're not telling the truth and they've lied. And under the Alabama pattern jury instructions, it says, it tells a jury, if you believe that a witness has lied in anything, you can disregard everything they've said. So again, Gloria Allred, release the yearbook. It's been 23
days.
That's
everything right there.
Release the yearbook.
Thank you.
Here's the thing. If you guys could pull up that Breitbart article once again, just Look at how they showcased this when they had the press conference.
Oh, yeah. Gloria Allred with her whole, she's got the whole media behind her.
Holding up, there it is. Look at that. They hold up a picture, a drawing of her. Look how sweet and young and innocent she was. This is to pull the heartstrings and to piss people off. Like, I can't believe this dirty old man tried to pick up on her. Probably not even what she looked like.
Actually, I think they said, hey, here, draw a picture of Ivanka, and then let's just say that was you.
Yeah, well, this is, it's backfiring.
But again, see, this is what people, this cannot sink in enough here, Darren. The legal precedent that Gloria Allred has, I always mispronounce her name. I have these weird quirks where I say names and things wrong. Gloria Allred, her entire legal career should be shut now. She should be disbarred. She should have been disbarred years ago. If nothing else, she needs to be disbarred now. Because let me tell you something. She not only was behind this fake accuser, let's not be ignorant here. She knew the entire time. She probably put her up to that. But regardless, we can't prove that. What we do know is that Gloria Allred should come out and disavow this entire case against Roy Moore now, considering the legal precedent, or she needs to be disbarred immediately because she knows damn well that this entire case is now falling apart because of Beverly Nelson.
ABC News also, I think they owe Roy Moore an apology because they had
a lot of people do.
They had Beverly Nelson on their program, and it was just, you could tell she was coached. He's asking the questions that's going to get the answers that they want. So this was heavily, this was propaganda from the very beginning, and you could just tell. Yeah, we've been doing this for so long, we could just tell.
Yeah.
And it's good to see it come back though, because this, we knew this was going to, that this was a lie, and then when it turns out that this was a forgery, it's just, it feels like we're justified.
But it's not even that we feel justified, because we knew what this was the whole time. It's just a reincarnation of our frustration with fake news, because we knew this the whole time. Just like every other story, InfoWars, next week's News Today. We told you this. We knew that this was fake. Now it all comes out. But Gloria Allred, again, I pronounced her name wrong. I don't even care. Good, I pronounced her name wrong. She's a scumbag anyway. She should be disbarred. And if you look at what she stands for, she claims to stand for women who have been abused, and she virtue signals and stands up for them legally. Well, now what she has done because of a political agenda against Trump, as she has created a scorched earth for any victim of sexual assault who may want to come forward now.
Doesn't she remind you of like Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson? They're the same type of people.
Fakes. Same. Total fakes.
Ambulance chasers.
Total frauds.
And trying to stir the pot.
It's really amazing. And I think Roy Moore is going to win.
Absolutely. And of course. And they'll say because he's from racist Alabama.
But this is going to be the incredible thing. The incredible thing, you got the MSNBC video. All right, we'll go out with this video. The incredible thing is, here's what's going to happen. Roy Moore's going to win. I think Al Franken's going to stay. And then the media is going to say that Republicans just elected a pedophile. That's how they're going to report it.
Oh, of course.
Here, let's go to this clip real quick. This is MSNBC's live news feed getting trolled by a Trump supporter in Pensacola, Florida.
Seeing that there's at least interest and at least applications are going out there. When you're looking,
Roy Moore's down the wind. Roy Moore's down.
There's clearly some Alabamians that have made their way here to Pensacola, Andrea.
Darren? This guy can't even focus through one Trump supporter coming in the background. I have to focus live on air with like 10 vitriolic Trump haters.
InfoWars sucks.
Yeah.
InfoWars sucks.
All right, that's Darren McBreen. Darren, thanks for joining us and bringing all this to our attention. When we come back, it's going to be Roger Stone. Don't go anywhere. This is The War Room. Nice, cute cartoon. I remember these.
Come on, Penelope. Don't be a naughty kitty.
Darling, I have waited for you.
What is this?
I remove them from you, the bonds of slavery. Viola! Just to think.
Oh my gosh!
You do not ask.
Look at this assault!
To the Casbah.
That skunk is assaulting that cat!
Yeah.
Oh my gosh!
So, mon chéri. Mm-hmm.
Oh!
Do away with the dull prince.
Shut it down!
And make
no!
Right away.
I can't believe this.
This is
Pepe Le Pew sexually assaulting a cat. Folks, I cannot believe that this ever made air. How could any television station ever air this Pepe Le Pew? Pepe Le Pew is a serial sexual assaulter. Look at that toxic masculinist. Wait a second. Is he wearing a French beret? And has a French accent? This is also anti-French. Wait a second. Not only is Pepe Le Pew a toxic masculinist, this cartoon is clearly racist against French people. Listen to this. There's all this French art with the fleur-de-lis and the French accent here. What, are all French men toxic masculinists, serial sexual assaulters now? This is offensive. I can't believe that this was ever on television. I can't believe I watched this as a kid. It's no wonder. I can't be blamed. I was fed this propaganda as a kid. What do you expect me to become? Of course I'm going to become some sort of French sexual toxic masculinist. I was watching Pepe Le Pew as a child. I now blame Warner Brothers for this entire Me Too thing. This is clearly all Pepe Le Pew's fault. And I'll tell you, if I was in France watching this right now, I mean, I can't believe the cultural appropriation. That French men are just all toxic masculinists like this?
Darling, you found me.
Unbelievable.
Clever.
Look at this Pepe Le Pew cartoon. Can you believe this? This is so offensive. This needs to be removed from television right now. I want to start a petition to get Pepe Le Pew removed from all television networks immediately. This is clearly cultural appropriation of the French. This is clearly toxic masculinity. This is clearly sexual assault and making a joke out of it. This is no joke. This would be like a woman forging a signature to try to accuse someone of sexual assault. That's how outrageous this is. Who would dare do that?
So now, Moshe,
same type of people. All right, folks, you know what to do. You got to call your local cable provider. You need to call your local satellite provider. If you're still on that, and you need to request immediately whoever is airing Pepe Le Pew cartoons be removed from your package and shut down. I want them all shut down. If you have aired a Pepe Le Pew cartoon in the last 30 years, Gloria Allred might be coming after you for sexual assault.
But of course.
In fact, I'm surprised that Gloria Allred has not already tried to sue Pepe Le Pew. So now we need Gloria Allred and her legal team to jump on this. I want Warner Brothers sued. I want Pepe Le Pew sued. I want anyone who's ever run that cartoon in the last 30 years sued. All of them need to be sued. All of them need to be shut down. Clearly, this is not Al Franken's fault that he's a serial groper. Clearly, this is not John Conyers' fault that he's a pimp that likes to have extramarital affairs, a player, his own son words. It's not his fault. It's Pepe Le Pew. See, there it is right there. Okay, obviously I'm being facetious, but somebody wrote this story. Is Pepe Le Pew a rapist? I try to make a joke of it, and the liberals have already done it for real. Oh my, Roger Stone when we get back. I actually like Pepe Le Pew, he's funny.
This is the War Room.
Welcome back. War on the War Room with your hosts, Roger Stone and Owen Scheuer. I'm reporting from our new New York Bureau.
Well, I guess my Christmas present came early this year when Senator Al Franken resigned from the U.S. Senate. Last night, I was dining in a Manhattan restaurant when I was literally accosted by Joan Walsh of The Nation, a sometimes liberal talking head on MSNBC. She said, "Well, I guess you're congratulating," referring to the resignation of Franken. I said, "I merely reported it." She said, "No, I think you had a lot to do with it. Your time in the barrel will come," to which I responded, "Don't count on it." What is it about these mirthless liberals who have no tolerance? I merely reported the entire matter of Al Franken's sexual assault of Miss Tweeden. But then Tom Arnold went on Twitter to promulgate fake news. The washed-up former actor claims that I teamed up with John Phillips, the conservative commentator for KABC in Los Angeles, to coach Miss Tweeden on her claim of sexual harassment by Al Franken. No, I have never met, communicated, or spoken to Miss Tweeden. Just because John Phillips has had me on his program a number of times, and because I have a high regard for him, does not mean that he is the source of this story. In fact, the source is high up in the Fox News organization in New York. We merely publish and bring forward tomorrow's news today here at InfoWars. Oh, and in the meantime, the stench of the Mueller investigation and the fact that it is hopelessly partisan and compromised continues to unfold for the American people. An extraordinary piece in Big League Politics tells us that an FBI whistleblower has come forward to say that Robert Mueller, while FBI director, consistently perjured himself before the Senate Intelligence Committee regarding the scope and breadth of the FBI's probably illegal surveillance program. Between that and the revelations regarding Agent Strzok and the endless conflicts of those who are like a pack of dogs nipping at the president's heels, I think their scam is becoming more and more apparent to the American people.
Well, not only that, you had the Washington Post publish a story, I think it was this morning or perhaps last night, kind of breaking down, I forget what the headline was, but whether intentionally, kind of like with sleight of hand or unintentionally, they plugged in a huge nugget into that story, which I hadn't heard of, but I think it may have been well known. You may have known this, but Andrew Weissman, who's also behind a lot of this anti-Trump Russian collusion probe and is responsible for these no-knock raids on Manafort and Flynn, Weissman was actually deep involved with the Hillary Clinton campaign enough to even be at her dinner the night of the election.
Look, this is a partisan deep state takedown of our president. This is a highly partisan, completely unbalanced probe. It's an abuse of power. Why do we even have a special prosecutor? Special prosecutors are appointed when there is a large and obvious egregious crime, but the Justice Department has some kind of conflict. In this case, Mr. Mueller is looking for a crime, but as far as Donald Trump is concerned, has been unable to find one. So now he will seek to construct one. The only people on the face of the planet who don't seem to understand this are the president's attorneys. For reasons that are hard to fathom, they have pursued a strategy of turning over hundreds of thousands of documents without the assertion of the executive privilege to the special prosecutor, thus relying on Robert Mueller's impartiality and fairness. This is a naive strategy, in my opinion, that underestimates the enmity of the two-party duopoly that violently opposed the Trump candidacy and now simply seek to negate the results of the last election.
Well, and it's exposed the FBI as kind of a rogue regime of its own with its own operating apparatus that just decides its own power structure. And they just assume that they can just go after anyone for anything. And as long as they think that there might be something they can find, then it's perfectly okay. And then if they catch you lying, then you get arrested. But more people are becoming aware of that. Roger, there's two stories that are developing that I wanted to get your opinion on. We got about 3 minutes left in this segment. Do you want to get into Papadopoulos first or Dina Powell?
Either one is fine with me. The fact that Dina Powell, a deep stater whose previous service was in the Bush White House, is even in the Trump White House in a position of responsibility is mind-blowing. The president ran for president as a non-interventionist, yet Ms. Powell is a hardliner. So no great surprise, Dina Powell got her job in the Trump White House on the recommendation of Mika Brzezinski. Yes, you heard it right. Joe Scarborough's partner now placing people in the Trump White House in the early days of the transition.
Well, this I can actually make sense of this because Joe, you know, hangs him and Crazy Mika, Psycho Joe hang out at, you know, Mar-a-Lago with Trump. So they're kind of around him. They have a semblance of a friendship, if you will. So maybe Mika makes a suggestion. But I think that they kind of knew the whole time. Roger, what I think happened here, and there seems to be some conflicting information coming out about this. I think that whatever the case of Tillerson may or may not end up being, Trump or someone within the administration used that intel and then filtered it through Dina Powell to find out if she was a leaker or not. So we already knew she was a leaker, but I think that somehow that they gave her a little information to see where that would go. And then once it started spreading around, they realized, okay, this is the leaker, Dina Powell. Now she's been ID'd. So she's just going to go ahead and try to walk away under her own power as if she, you know, she wasn't involved in any sort of strange anti-Trump activities.
Well, let's be very clear. Dina Powell is the deputy to H.R. McMaster. Last week, we learned that H.R. McMaster, the national security advisor, longtime associate of George Soros and formerly working at a think tank financed by Soros, the Rockefeller Foundation and the Ford Foundation, had ordered the surveillance of White House aide Steve Bannon, as well as several of the Trump children. Let me get this straight. A White House official ordering surveillance on another White House official, spying, essentially political espionage. And of course, this was in the lead up to the successful effort to get Steve Bannon fired. Bannon is a patriot, and I fully support his effort to purge the Republican Party of the rhinos. But the stunning abuse of power by H.R. McMaster, the same General McMaster who we first revealed here on InfoWars had bad-mouthed his boss, the president, in a drunken tirade during dinner with Safra Katz of Oracle. You're at the War Room. This is the right place. You get tomorrow's news today, and I'll be right back with my colleague, Owen Schroyer.
The tree tops lips glisten. And
welcome back to the War Room with your hosts. I'm Roger Stone, and I'm here with Owen Schroyer. We're broadcasting from our new New York bureau. If you like the expanded coverage now affordable at InfoWars, I urge you to go now to the InfoWars.com store and support us. We are completely and totally listener and viewer financed. We have no right-wing fat cats standing in the wings writing big checks to finance our incredibly exciting expansion. We're now broadcasting 10 hours a day with more to come. Alex Jones has mapped up a rapid expansion. And right now, by going to the InfoWars.com store, you can do your Christmas shopping and help the fight for freedom. Extraordinary sales today. Super Male Vitality. The price is slashed. Biome Defense, 50, slashed. Survival Shield, the price, once again, slashed. Deep, deep discounts. The Real Red Pill, my all-time favorite, Brain Force Plus, plus a huge cross-section of First Amendment-oriented T-shirts and books that make phenomenal Christmas gifts for the members of your family who believe in the fight for freedom. So, folks, help yourself to these terrific gifts, but help us by going to the InfoWars.com store now so we can continue to bring you tomorrow's news today. And now back to the War Room. So, Owen, you had another item there, another story you wanted to discuss.
So this is kind of the biggest news or the latest to come out, anything Papadopoulos, since his admitting to lying to the FBI, and it's his Italian fiance does an interview with ABC News. And this is kind of the first light shed on Papadopoulos as far as his thinking is concerned with this investigation. We already kind of know where Flynn stands with this, beyond just the fact that you know, we can be in touch with these people. But Papadopoulos's fiance basically comes on and says, look, he loves his country, he's a patriot, and he's cooperating with this investigation and everything. But basically, it sounds to me like I don't think Papadopoulos really, I mean, he gets brought on because of his expertise, apparently, in oil markets and trends and stuff like that. And he gets to volunteer to sit in on a couple of these meetings. And so they kind of make this big deal out of him. But really, he was just a guy who was along for the ride, got a minute in the sun, and then got caught up in this investigation in a process crime of lying. But this is another nothing burger, Roger. I mean, it's just incredible how they're trying to prop these things up with Flynn and Papadopoulos as anything. It's another nothing.
Well, let's put the entire Papadopoulos thing in perspective. I'm a veteran of 10 national presidential campaigns. It is common in a presidential campaign to form these large issue advisory groups that are largely honorific. It is meant to show that the candidate has support in the intellectual community. Papadopoulos was a volunteer on one such advisory panel. He was never compensated by the Trump campaign. He had no authority in the Trump campaign. He was a volunteer. During the time that Corey Lewandowski was the president's campaign manager, he inundated campaign officials with the repeated suggestion that he could set up meetings with high-level Russians. Nobody took him up on it. When Paul Manafort became the campaign chairman, Papadopoulos also emailed him with the same suggestion. Manafort, according to my sources, forwarded that email to his deputy, Rick Gates, and in an email, which Mr. Mueller has in his possession, said, "This is a terrible idea. Who is this guy? Turn him off and disband this committee immediately." P.S. The committee never met again. So the idea of calling Papadopoulos a Trump foreign policy advisor is grandiose, and trumped up, to say the least. And Manafort, at least, never took him up on the crazy idea of Trump campaign officials meeting with high-level Russians. All that has happened here is Papadopoulos is being used by Robert Mueller as a pawn in his effort to leverage Paul Manafort in some way to bring down the president.
So it's just amazing.
There you have
that-
it. For all we know, Papadopoulos was wearing a wire for Mueller. When they caught these emails, which, by the way, Papadopoulos' emails were turned over to Mueller by White House lawyer Ty Cobb. A perfect example of why the strategy of full disclosure and waiving executive privilege is deeply flawed. Coming up here on the War Room, we have Tyler Nixon, California attorney, longtime libertarian activist, who is going to help me when we interview Jordan Sather of Destroy the Illusion. That's his page on YouTube. Jordan is an impressive critic of the deep state and their advanced manipulation of the internet to not only stifle the real news that we produce here at InfoWars, but to promulgate fake news. Jordan Sather coming up in a future segment. So where we are now, I believe, Owen, is the president has to come to his senses soon and recognize the extraordinary danger that the Mueller probe poses to him. It is time for the president to order Jeff Sessions to appoint a special counsel, a special prosecutor in the matter of Uranium One. The Justice Department is an extension of the executive branch. Donald Trump has the authority to give that order. If Jeff Sessions cannot carry out that order, he must resign. We need to get the Uranium One scandal, which involves Comey, Mueller, McCabe, and Rosenstein, under a microscope. The very men that are tormenting our president today are up to their knees in the biggest treasonous scandal in U.S. history.
And that is why they are trying so much to deflect it and aim it at Trump and go after the Flynns and the Papadopouloses for anything they possibly can, try to get them to wear a wire, flip on Trump, everything. And it's not working, Roger. And, you know, I see the Dina Powell story, and it just is another sign to me. The rats are abandoning ship. The ship is sinking. The deep state sinking. Roger Stone is going to have more on the other side. You're not going to want to go anywhere. Jordan Sather joins us. This is The War Room, Infowars.com/show, Infowarsstore.com for your support.
Welcome back to the War Room. I'm Roger Stone, and joining me now from our new New York bureau is Tyler Nixon, California attorney, longtime conservative and libertarian activist, who is going to join me in our discussion with Jordan Sather of Destroy the Illusion, a terrific YouTube channel where he is informing the American people about the excesses of the deep state online. Tyler, welcome to the War Room.
Always good to be with you, Roger. Jordan Sather came to my attention. He operates the YouTube channel Destroying the Illusion and does regular videos in which he sort of brings together a lot of the different elements of deep state activities, the globalist sort of Soros type underworld that infests, I think, our daily discourse. And I wanted to get him on because he regularly delves into what has become known under President Trump as fake news, but was once and still is called disinformation or misinformation that's put out there. And I wanted to welcome to the show, Jordan. Welcome.
Thank you guys for having me on.
We can't hear Jordan.
Can't hear me
but,
there?
Well, Jordan, we had kind of talked a little bit about things like 4chan and 8chan and QAnon, which I think a lot of the InfoWars, InfoWarriors, myself included, didn't know much about, I think, and we'd like to hear more about that. What is 4chan? What is QAnon? And what kind of information is being put out there that is revealing what really goes on behind the scenes?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, here you now. Yep.
Take it away, Jordan.
Cool. So first, let's discuss basically what 4chan is, for those who don't know what it is. It's an anonymous posting board where anybody can basically go onto 4chan and post images and text. And under the / poll or the political boards on 4chan, it's been said that a lot of insiders or different people would actually go on there and post sensitive information, information that they wanted to leak for whatever means, you know, whether it's to help the public or get some information out there. And recently what's been going on, especially since the very end of October and even up till recent days, is that a poster by the moniker of Q, we don't know if it's a person, we don't know if it's a group, they've been going onto 4chan and leaking what's been called breadcrumbs. So it's basically a bunch of information that it's suggestive in nature. It's nothing direct, but there's a lot of questions. There's a lot of symbols even. There's a lot of inferences that are made to basically make people research. They'll type in these things. They'll try to find connections between these, quote, breadcrumbs that the Q or QAnon or Q Clearance Patriot is leaving onto 4chan. And ever since this, we've been seeing a huge, I mean, I'm not necessarily an expert on 4chan. I just, you read the posts and run with them. But there's been a huge infestation of trolls onto 4chan, so much so that some of these posts have migrated onto a sister site that's not affiliated with 4chan. It's called 8chan. But anyway, these posts are still being made on this 8chan by, you know, this Q person. And when you look at these pieces that are laid, these questions that are asked, you know, we don't know, none of it is confirmed. It's all alleged and supposed, but it's very interesting how this all intertwines. And a lot of these questions almost verify things that have been called fake news or have been called, quote, conspiracy theory for years. And the way these posts point to this big picture of a behind the scenes civil war almost between different intel agencies and between an alliance per se fighting the deep state. It's quite amazing when you really look at it.
One of the more recent revelations I understand that actually panned out was a reference to what happened in Saudi Arabia. Can you give us a little bit into, you know, a little insight into that? Because I think that's one of the more validating, I guess, posts that came out before ahead of events unfolding.
Exactly. And this is one of the few pieces that allow us to see that this might be a very real person or group leaking information is what happened in Saudi Arabia. So at the beginning of November, there were suggestions by this Q to look at what he termed SA, and that leads to Saudi Arabia. A few days later, we saw the huge shakeup occur in Saudi Arabia, the sweep of hundreds of officials arrested. We saw multiple princes over there, all arrested for corruption, and Prince Al-Walid, who has a large stake in Twitter and who has direct connections to the Clinton Foundation and many other people who have been, it's said, part of this deep state. So, yeah, that's one of the crumbs that connects, that allows us to see that, wow, this might be very real and discussing real events occurring behind the scenes that we're just trying to gather.
Jordan, I wrote in my book, The Making of the President 2016, that I believed that it was only the rise of a vibrant and robust alternative media that allowed for the election of Donald Trump. Now, I myself have seen graphically how bots, or perhaps humans, on the internet seek to counter this vibrant alternative media with disinformation, shadow banning, and other computer techniques to limit our reach and to cut us off from those who follow us. I myself, of course, have been banned for life on Twitter. We'll see about that. But tell us, is it possible that the deep state has as many as 10,000 human beings sitting there all day? I thought they were all in the basement at Media Matters for America, but perhaps not. Exactly what's going on?
So, yeah, being on YouTube, I have, you know, direct experience and direct knowledge of these types of shadow banning and other manipulation techniques that the deep state tries to do with the internet. And a lot of that is demonetization. A lot of times I'll upload a video and instantly it'll be demonetized, or, you know, later on as the view count rises, it'll demonetize. I've even seen view count anomalies. It'll get stuck, or a lot of people message me. They don't get notifications and a lot of things like that. But first and foremost, I think when you look at the artificial intelligence aspect of it, you know, they log the words that we even say, and certain analytics procedures will then shadow ban based on that. But we're seeing such a rise in alternative media, in YouTube, in, you know, InfoWars, and people trying to get the truth out there, that they're having to resort. I mean, recently Google posted that they need to hire 10,000 people to literally roll around YouTube and try to mark what they call offensive content. But then, of course, who's determining the offensive content? What is exactly the offensive content? Is it offensive to the American people, or is it offensive to the deep state and the plans they don't want to be outed? You know, these are all crucial questions to ask when you're looking at these things.
Look, fake news is in the eye of the beholder. What we publish at InfoWars.com is truth. The deep state sees it as fake news when we know CNN is the epitome of fake news. CBS, NBC, ABC, they continue to promulgate falsehoods. At this point, I think the deep state would like to stick the toothpaste back in the tube. That's why they are fighting so ferociously to maintain the current net neutrality rules, which are incredibly misnamed. Yes, there's net neutrality for carriers, but the big boys, Amazon, Google, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, they are completely unregulated. They can malign you, they can censor you, they can silence you, and you have, they think, no redress. This is Roger Stone with Tyler Nixon and Jordan Sather, and you're on The War Room. Before we finish here, go to the InfoWars.com store, folks, for your Christmas shopping so we can continue to expand our program and bring you terrific interviews like this one. We will be right back. My guests, Tyler Nixon and Jordan Sather, we are exploring the misdeeds of the deep state on the internet and their efforts to counter what we here at InfoWars do every single day, bring you the real news as opposed to the fake news. You can find Jordan Sather at Destroy Illusion, Destroying the Illusion, on YouTube. Fascinating work that he's doing, exposing the various efforts of the deep state. Tyler?
Well, one of the issues that I think, Jordan, you definitely covered quite a bit and brought a lot of threads together was the Las Vegas shooting, which remains mysterious. I think it's very bizarre. It was in the news, it dominated the news, and then suddenly nothing. It's as though it just didn't happen. It just didn't exist. It's been completely dropped from the public consciousness. We've heard nothing more. You know, as with the Kennedy assassination, we have supposedly a lone nut shooter, yet they can't release anything. They want to withhold information. For what purpose, I ask? if it's just a lone nut who's doing a lone nut deed, who cares that we see the video of him bringing the rifles into the room and so forth? So there's a lot of murk around that. And InfoWars has assiduously covered it. Owen Schroyer and Roger have done a great job. Particularly Owen has done an excellent job covering it. But I understand you've delved into it as well and saw a lot of anomalies and strangeness going on. Did you find anything in particular in your looks into these anonymous postings and post rooms, chat rooms, whatever they are, that kind of made you really, really question what happened in Las Vegas besides the obvious?
Absolutely. And I questioned it instantly because, like you said, there's just an amazing amount of anomalies that were there that are unanswered. And once these postings came out, which was approximately a month later, with the Vegas shooting being at the beginning of October and these dropping at the end and into November, there were a lot of dots that connected. And a lot of those dots, coincidentally, connect right to Saudi Arabia. For instance, I believe it was Prince Al-Waleed, the prince that got arrested. He was a stakeholder, majority stakeholder of many of the top floors of the Mandalay Bay. And there's also underground video that was released of at adjacent casinos, certain people being escorted around, and some digging was done, and it could have very well been people associated with Saudi Arabia, you know, instances occurring at adjacent hotels, which were, of course, unreported, more anomalies. You know, so there's a lot of coincidences and between the QAnon posts and the Vegas shooting.
Yeah, it's very bizarre. And one of the things I think that we wanted to touch on, which touches on this because of the deep state and because of the operations that go on, these are all funded by somebody. They're not in obvious budgets. They're not disclosed to the American public, obviously. There's a lot of black budgets. And you brought to my attention that the Department of Defense is apparently attempting or going to attempt a real audit. As we recall, back in 2001, I believe the morning of or the day before 9/11, it was announced that there was upwards of $1 trillion that couldn't be accounted for. Why don't you give us a little bit on that and what's going on with the delving into that, as well as the larger black budget issue?
Absolutely. And this is a topic that I do very deep research in. And the day before 9/11, on September 10th, it was Donald Rumsfeld who admitted on the congressional floor, he was talking to Dr. Cynthia McKinney, a great woman. I've interviewed her on my channel. He admitted to her that there are $2.3 trillion on that day unaccounted for from the Pentagon. And, well, what happened the next day? The 9/11, of course, occurred. And what happened to the Pentagon? Well, it was the accounting offices, it was said, that blew up, you know, whether it was a plane or something else that actually flew into those offices. The next day, everybody forgot about that. You know, $2.3 trillion, that's a lot of money. And fast forward about 14 years later, in 2015, much more recently, the Department of Defense, via the Inspector General, put out a report saying that that number is now upwards of maybe even 6 to 8 trillion. Okay, that was in 2015. And if you look at the work of one Catherine Austin Fitz, you know, she said that that number is potentially up to 15 to 20 plus trillion. And it's fascinating now that we finally have the first audit of the Department of Defense. So I'm very excited to see where this goes. But the question still remains, where's the rest of the money gone? Whether it's, you know, $6 trillion, could be many more, that's a lot of money. And it's had to have gone somewhere. Well, when you begin researching just that, the black budgets, the money that doesn't need to be disclosed in the military and quasi-military corporate structures to Congress, there's a lot of money there that go into these unacknowledged special access projects. And it's a question what these unacknowledged projects deal with, whether it deals with highly advanced technology, you know, zero point energy technology. I wonder where Tesla's papers went when they were confiscated from his apartment when he died in 1946 or 47. And there's many more scientists that have research that has went missing. And not only is the research went missing, but we have a lot of this money that's gone missing. So one can then gather that it's very likely a lot of this money has been funneled into projects that deal with highly advanced technologies that could literally liberate, you know, humanity of its energy needs, these zero point energy technologies, but also electrogravitic technologies where you can take a craft, or and actually make it counter gravity through the use of electricity. And it's fascinating stuff because it absolutely redesigns your ideas of what science is. Of course, the deep state we were just talking about earlier, they control us through the media currently, but the same people that control the media are the same people that control the education institutions. So it's a full, it's almost a full redesign, a perspective or a belief system redesign we all need. And doing research into this, we could say secret space program or these special access projects, I'm doing some work via secretspaceprogram.com on all of this. So it's, you know, it's a huge topic that needs to be disclosed, and it ties into every single other thing we're seeing come out, and especially that of the deep state.
You know, it reminds me of something once said by the late Senator Everett Dirksen, who said, a million here, a million there, pretty soon it adds up to real money. Anyone who has read my book, The Clintons' War on Women, available at the Infowars.com store, knows that Hillary Clinton seems to have simply misplaced $600 million in the State Department budget during her tenure. It boggles the mind, these enormous wastes of money that belongs to the U.S. taxpayers. With a little less than 3 minutes to go, I'm going to ask Tyler Nixon to wrap this up, and then we want to remind you yet again that we are listener and viewer sponsored here on InfoWars, and we need your support to continue our crusading effort to bring you the truth about the proposed and planned deep state takedown of Donald Trump. So do yourself a favor, do us a favor, go to the InfoWars.com store now, 50% off the entire line of Super Blue products, including their terrific Super Blue toothpaste, a whitening toothpaste very favored in the Stone household. These are really exceptional products with literally thousands of honest testimonials from satisfied info warriors. But we cannot expand, we cannot continue to bring you the breaking truth without your support. So go now and load up on products like the Super Blue fluoride-free toothpaste. If you're a bircher, you don't have to worry about this toothpaste. There's no fluoride, but it does help us with our expansion here at InfoWars. Tyler?
Well, in the last 90 seconds or so we have, Jordan, you're a millennial generation, and I'm always curious because Roger and I were talking about this earlier, that people don't read books as much as they used to, and it's all internet-based. Everything is, you know, reading and researching on the internet. What do you see the ultimate impact of your generation being in terms of the long term with regard to politics and with regard to culture? It's a big question, I know, but do your best.
And you have exactly 1 minute.
Here's the question. I got 54 seconds. So it's amazing that my generation is now becoming the largest, but it's unfortunate that they're also the most indoctrinated. We deal with the most media, the most Hollywood, the most time in the education systems that all brainwash us. So in my opinion, we need to get back to books. A lot of the knowledge I'm reading from books made in the 1920s and 10s, but at the same time, we do have to mix that in with the internet, because the internet being such an amazing collective consciousness expanding tool, we can get a crazy amount of information on there, from InfoWars, from Destroying the Illusion, from all kinds of different sources, which is no wonder that Google and YouTube are trying to censor it all. But really, it takes effort. You know, a lot of people say knowledge is power. I don't believe that. I think action is power. Knowledge is only a potential. So we actually have to take the effort to inform ourselves and put everything we learn into action.
Making talk radio great again. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer and Roger Stone at Infowars.com/show.
Well, I was rolling down the road in some cold blue steel.
So Jordan Sather was just addressing the question posed to him by Tyler and Roger. What can the millennial generation do about the indoctrination, brainwashing, and quite frankly, just the attack on our brain, our IQ, our ability to think freely and critically, This comes via the fluoride and other chemicals in the water and food, as well as Jordan very eloquently was putting forth how we spend more time in these education systems now, and they're more indoctrinating than ever. Now, is the whole debate about, you know, do we need to read more or this, that, the other thing? We had the story yesterday that out of every three millennials, two vote Democrat. There was another story that a quarter of millennials would rather marry a sex doll than a real woman. I mean, my goodness, to think that these are my peers. But the basic thing scientifically that you can address with this, and this has been proven in studies. In fact, you know what? There's actually two things I want to go to here. Let's have clip four and five ready. If you look at studies, it'll show you that the least amount of brain function when you're engaging in media would be visual audio media. That's television or videos. Right after that would be just audio engagement. So that's, you know, listening to music or listening to talk radio. And then the third level, which is the highest function level, is when you're just reading, and then you have to create the sights and sounds in your head. So when you talk about reading less, that's kind of what you're seeing. But there is another side to that. So let's go to clip five first. So because, though, our generation is so just in the media, just nonstop every day with the social media and everything, we do learn and see things that we would not see and would not have these thoughts come into our head without that. And that's how you get this clip of John Podesta at Duke University being asked a question by, I'm guessing, a millennial or someone, you know, the college age. I'm guessing this is the last time Podesta does a public speaking event at a university. Here's that clip.
First of all, thank you so much for being here, Mr. Podesta. Oh, there we go. Okay, so you've talked a lot about Trump, his administration, Clinton, the election. I'm wondering if you can address some of the controversies or maybe just conspiracy theories tied to you, your brother, and the Podesta Group. So whether that's your personal email leak as it relates to Pizzagate, the undisclosed 75,000 shares of stock you received from the Kremlin, potentially violating financial disclosure laws, Uranium One being a client of the Podesta Group, why your brother left the Podesta Group after facing criminal inquiry. As an aspiring person in politics, I'm curious as to how you're dealing with all of these accusations. Thank you.
This is how the alt-right does fake news.
Pause it right there. Pause it right there. Now, all right, I'm not going to have time to get to the next video, but this is actually key where he says this is how the alt-right does fake news. John, I'm not the one that wrote the email about the pizza-related map, bro. I'm not the one that wrote the email that said we're going to have kids the age of 12 and younger in the hot tub for your entertainment, bro. That wasn't me, and you're still yet to address that. But let's go back to good old John.
No. And it's personally painful because a lot of this is
it's
really
like a Bernie
painful.
Sanders thing going on.
And I am sick of the, you know, I mean, I have been, my family and I have been put through this Pizzagate bullshit for a year, which has been totally debunked, by the way. My relationship with the company that you're talking about, which was based in Boston, an American innovative company, I fully disclosed, and Fox has had to correct that twice. I could go down the rest of your list. I have no relationship to the Podesta Group and haven't for
no relation to the Podesta Group. You just heard it from John Podesta. He's got no relation to the Podesta Group. He still hasn't. Is he still looking for that pizza-related map, by the way?
Is the War Room.
Welcome back. You are in the War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. Tommy Robinson is my guest now. I'm actually being informed now. Congratulations, Tommy. On your new show, The Tommy Robinson Show, you're basically just a walking show now. You've got amazing chants when you go out in the streets of Tommy, Tommy, Tommy. That's always entertaining. And then most recently, the crew was just showing this video. This was actually wild to me. So the police are now following you around. You're such a one-man show that now the police are being told to follow you around. Thanks for joining us, Tommy. Enlighten me on this recent development. You shared the video on your Twitter account. What is the deal? Why are the police following you around?
They followed me today from 11 o'clock until 11 o'clock this morning till 8 p.m. tonight. They didn't try and slyly follow me. They followed me in their car, and they drove behind me, and I clocked and thought, is that a police car following us? And they followed us for an hour and a half. And I pulled up outside an address, which I spoke to the gentleman to say, what are you doing? And he said, the orders have come from above. We are to follow you. I said, but do you know what I'm doing here? And they goes, no, what are you doing here? And I goes, let me show you what I'm doing here. I was collecting flowers. The video goes out tonight on our show, but I was collecting flowers. So I've come out with lots of flowers and said, what are you doing? Like, what do these flowers look dangerous to you? And then they continued to follow us. And literally everywhere I turned, and then I went for dinner, and I'm looking out through the curtain in the restaurant, and I see the police cars outside. They actually done a shift change, and they swapped motors for new police officers for their second shift. And the problem that I have, and anyone in America, if you're aware of the situation in the UK, we have 23,000 Muslims who are part of a watch list. We can't monitor all of them, so we cut that down to 3,000, and then we try to monitor the most dangerous out of the 3,000. Now, out of our last attack, Salman Abedi, who blew up the children's concert in Manchester, Khalid Massoud, who drove the truck down Westminster, these were all people who should have been watched, but they weren't watched. They ticked the boxes, they crossed paths with our security services, but we simply didn't have the time or the resources or the money or the police to follow them. Yet everywhere I look, I'm being followed. And that's my problem is, if you keep up to date with what's going on in the UK, many of our police forces are now saying that they will not even respond to burglaries. Shoplifting is not an arrestable offence anymore in certain boroughs in the UK because we do not have enough police. Yet, for the last 9 to 10 years, they've had enough police to throw whatever and do whatever it takes to try and harass and persecute myself or my family. And again, if you watch those videos from today, the individual officers, it was quite clear they were nice men. It was quite clear they felt ridiculous in what they were doing, but they were told to do it. They're following orders.
Yeah, there's so many different angles to this story. I'm not even sure which one I want to take yet. But yeah, I completely agree with you just from myself watching the video. It seemed to me like the police officers were very nice people. They were like, hey, you know, we're just doing our job here, sir. In fact, they were like, yeah, we don't even know who you are. Like, we don't know what you're doing. We were just following command. So let's go down that angle first. Did they ever get into where these orders are coming from or how they originated or why they're following you around?
No, look, those police officers know full well who I am. They know exactly what they're doing. Mm. To be honest, later on in the video that I've got coming out on the show, I discussed with the officer, look, I fully understand you've been told to do this. I'm just not sure if you're aware why you're being told to do this. Because what I see this is ongoing persecution, and I hope that I will be triggered by it. But there's something, because I mean, I don't know if you've seen the footage. There's a video where I'm with my children in a city called Cambridge. And I'm having a meal with my children in a restaurant, and police come into the venue and they tell me I have to leave the city or I'm going to be arrested. They then pursue me and my children with cameras, so much so that my children become hysterical, crying and screaming. And this is all part of, I'm actually taking the police to court for that. But this is just ongoing, what I'd call state persecution and attempts to disrupt my life in any way they can.
Well, and you pointed out the obvious angle here of a miscarriage of law enforcement. where they're following you around all day. As far as I'm concerned, you're not guilty of any violent crimes. You haven't tried to run people over in a truck. You haven't planted any bombs anywhere. In fact, you've been very outspoken about that type of violence and why it's in your country. So the fact that they're willing to follow you around for hours on end, but not follow around somebody that they've already labeled as a potential radical jihadist, I mean, that really just sends quite a message to the people, really, in Europe, I would say, not just in Britain, but all over Europe.
It is quite a message. And the sad thing is, I had the police knock here. They knocked at my house at like 2 o'clock in the morning, probably 4 weeks ago. And they come to warn me that there's planned attempts to kill me. And when they come then, it's like, look.
So you and Theresa May. So now you and Theresa May have both been threatened to be killed by radical Islamists.
Oh, yeah. Six times the police have given me. We have a thing in the UK called an Osman warning. An Osman warning is a government and police warning to tell you there's specific intelligence that attempts are going to be made on your life. Now, the police have given me six of them, and their advice to me has been each time is to leave my hometown. They cannot protect me 24 hours a day. I need to leave and do not return to the town that I'm born up in, the town I'm born in, the town I love. And the reason for this is because that town has a large Muslim population, and they'd rather I just leave and shut up, which is the idea. So, and Theresa May, as you said, this week, it's come out. You know, this week, if I just run through for your listeners, this week we've seen the plan to blow up Downing Street, where they were going to let off a bomb and kill Theresa May. We've seen a separate plan for a jihadist to target Prince George, which is William's son, to kill him at his school. We've seen an ISIS sniper who was working in Walmart, the equivalent of Walmart. An ISIS sniper who was working in Walmart, who was only brought to prison because Sky News found a list of who ISIS fighters were with what jobs they'd done. This ISIS fighter was part of a network who was friends with Salman Abedi, who's the man who blew up the Manchester Arena. Now, as one of these terrorists was in jail, Salman Abedi visited him for 3 years. That didn't alert the police at all. Salman Abedi travelling back to Libya, back and forth, in the weeks before he planted a bomb and blew himself up, didn't alert the police at all. So he's already visiting ISIS fighters. He's already travelling to countries where we have no security or no background checks on them, and we know they're being used as ISIS centres. He's already doing that, but it did not alert our authorities. Each one of these things, I wouldn't mind. You see, when this is going on, I recently flew back from holiday. I'm pulled straight in every single time I'm pulled in. And it's like, you're monitoring what I'm doing and where I'm going. All I'm doing is talking about these people. All I'm doing is warning about who they are and what they're doing. Now, again, this most recent one, which is the sniper, the ISIS sniper, he attended Didsbury Mosque in Manchester. Salman Abedi attended Didsbury Mosque in Manchester. There's one mosque in Manchester where 19 bombers have gone to one mosque. 19 in one mosque. They all live within a 2-mile radius of the mosque. Mm. That's one mosque in one town in our country. But yet the police are monitoring us. And the sad thing is, every time you hear this talked about now, they talk about the rising Islamists and the far-right threat. What's far-right? What is far-right? You are labelling people...
Hold on a second. I'm getting intel in my ear here. Wait a second. What's that? We've had 19 bombers attend the same mosque? Yeah. We need to immediately get security on Tommy Robinson. Yeah, Tommy Robinson is the problem. No. Don't go to the mosque. I want you on Tommy Robinson. That's the logic right now. In Europe. It's shocking. Another segment with Tommy Robinson. Don't go anywhere.
Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
While the merry bells keep ringing.
Well, it is the Christmas happy season. Holiday. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you. And it's really tough, though, for some of these people in France and Germany and around Europe that can't even have a Christmas market because of such a threat of violence from radical Islamic extremists who drive a truck through it or blow it up, where some Christmas markets have actually been shut down because certain communities can't afford the protection from the radical extremist. But Tommy Robinson, he's got a new show, The Tommy Robinson Show. He's the real threat, so police are following him around instead. Really just goes to show you, well, the mindset of law enforcement right now. But again, it's not really necessarily law enforcement, but the people barking orders down to them. I'm not even sure how, I mean, what is the answer to this, Tommy? I mean, there's no logic here, and this is clearly an assault on you because of your political beliefs. Now, on kind of a weird silver lining here, at least, you know, we know that the threats against you are real, so at least you do have some protection following you around. I mean, that's nice.
Yeah, that's nice. If only it was genuine protection. So I've asked the police plenty of times. You know, like, obviously, you can bear firearms in your country. I'm sat at home now. I'm not allowed a weapon. And I know full well I have jihadists wanting to kill me. And I've got a wife and children in this home. So I don't have much confidence at all in being able to defend myself. I've actually been in a situation before where I was actually on your show with Alex. And I have a panic button in my home. If something happens, I have to press the panic button. I have a picture just here. I have a picture just here of my wife and children. So before I come on, I knock the picture over. And the picture hit the panic button. 45 minutes I sat talking to Alex before the police bank come through the door. 45 minutes. By then, my head would have been off. So yeah. I don't really have much faith at all. When you're talking about the Christmas market situation, I still hope to, before this Christmas, get out to Poland or Hungary. I'd love to do a video and say, look at this beautiful Christmas market. Just look around it. What do you notice? Everyone's safe. There's no bollards. There's nothing. And I'll say 0.1% of Poland is Muslim. Then we go to London. We stand outside the London Christmas market, where there's bollards this high. There's big yellow massive things. There's metal detectors to get into Santa's grotto. And I'd say, what do you notice here? There's literally a massive wall, metal railing around the entire market. London is 5% Muslim. Then we could go to Paris and stand in a completely empty space where their Christmas market has been for decades, but this year there is no Christmas market because of the threat and the danger of jihadists on it. Paris or France is 10% Muslim. How people cannot see where we are heading is beyond me. If you cannot see that our freedoms and the things we've loved are disappearing, everything's being affected, and the only way we're going, I don't know if you saw the report this week or the Pew Research demographical change for Britain and for Europe, is to show that the Muslim community is going to triple, three times the percentage of Muslims in our country. So what does that tell us? That tells us that currently we have 23,000 Muslims who are on monitor watch. If that 23,000, if it triples, say it triples, that would become 69,000. Only the problem is, if you look at all research, it shows that the youngest generation, so 18 to 30, the 18-year-olds to 30-year-olds, their views on apostasy, their views on punishment for adultery, their views on all of extremism doubles compared to the age 30 to 40. So as we go down a generation, the problem is actually doubling. So if we keep doing that as we go forward two generations, we're not going to see 69,000 would-be jihadists. It's going to double again. We're going to see an army. Now, they want to bring our British military down. As I don't know if you've seen in our country, they've been absolutely weakening our armed forces. I know you've got Donald Trump now, so he's not going to allow that in your country. But in our country, it's like they're purposely leaving us weak, ready. Because now they want to bring it down to 50,000. We only have 80,000 at the minute. They want to bring it down to 50,000. 50,000 armed forces. the threat our country faces and the inevitable outcome which we see for Europe and for my homeland is chaos, destruction.
Well, I mean,
we're really, it's depressing. I know everything I talk about is depressing, but it's a reality of where we're at over it.
Well, no, I mean, you're getting to the more serious issue where if you look at it historically, I mean, you hope it doesn't come to what you've seen in the past with Muslim invasions of Europe. Obviously, that's what you're trying to avoid in these cases. But, you know, this is what they're trying to do now where they're saying, you know, Juncker is saying, well, Europeans aren't having enough children. So they poison your food and water. They make a bunch of soy boys that don't want to have kids. So then you can't repopulate your country. So they say, okay, let's just bring in the Muslims then. And then that graph that we just showed there pretty much proves it. I mean, you're not just saying this stuff. It's all there. We've got the numbers. We've seen the studies. Now they're admitting it. But nobody's there to stand up for Europe, though. Nobody. You're not allowed to be pro-Britain. Britain first? No.
Well, if I bring you back to my hometown of Luton, the government, again, this is not Tommy Robinson's projected growth forecast. The government's projected growth forecast for the Pakistani and the Bangladeshi community by 2030, there's only not many years away now, by 2030, their community are going to increase by 70 to 77%. The black and white community, our communities, are going to increase by 1.3%. We are being absolutely taken over, outbred, and what people have to understand, if you understand this in America, understand that when this starts to happen and this trend grows, then the Democrats, like the Labour Party, they see this growing trend and they see where their future demographic is. They see the future. So then what happens is, even if you had left-wing Labour voters, like everyone from my background who's from poor backgrounds, would support Labour. But as white English working class men, we become irrelevant because the growth forecast shows you in Luton that we don't matter anymore because the next generation that's going to overtake us will be the ethnic and the minority vote. So at that point, you start seeing your community completely sidelined and everything being given to the ethnic minorities, even though they're not minorities anymore. We English, white English people are the minority in my hometown, okay? But we then become completely irrelevant because we don't orchestrate and organise ourselves in a military fashion for voting. So that's what people in America need to understand, how quickly it will happen, and where groups like the Democrats, the same as our Labour Party, where their loyalties will change like that. They'll change like that. When they look at the future and see the birth rate and see the control, that you'll face the same problems we've faced. In fact, I believe you already are starting to see where the loyalties lie, where the allegiances come.
Well, and then there was a video, I don't know if you saw it, it was somewhere in Britain where there's a woman and a man, they get into an altercation on a bus or some public transit, and the woman is like, you're white, you're just a stupid white man, and totally discounts his opinion because he's white. This was a black woman, I don't know, I think she said she was from Nigeria. But, you know, hearing what you said about Pakistan, I mean, it's so revealing. The fact that you have all these Pakistanis leaving Pakistan now, I think is really telling. See, India reached a deal and they gave these people Pakistan. They were like, look, you're nuts, okay? Just go to Pakistan. But they can't even be happy with that, so now they invade Europe. Tommy Robinson, he's got his new show, The Tommy Robinson Show. Check it out. Thanks for joining us today. We hope you stay safe over the Christmas season, Tommy.
Thanks, guys. Have a good Christmas.
This is The War Room with Roger Stone at Infowars.com/show.
So what I have is a series of video clips. I mean, it's just nuts. I mean, it's just nuts because everything is really complex, but really simple at the same time. Where you can say something like, everything that the deep state and the Democrats are guilty of, they're blaming Trump of. And while that's very simple as a statement that stands alone and still accurate, it's also very complex when you look at it through all the angles. The angle that I'm talking about here is the Trump is unhinged, Trump is unfit, Trump is mentally unstable. Folks, again, sexual assault in these industries has never been a problem until Trump. Being unfit and unhinged and, you know, mentally impaired while holding office has never been a problem until Trump. Now, you get into the whys, that's a different story. But just for face value, here is Maxine Waters as if she hasn't already proven herself to be probably beyond mentally deranged and honestly has some legitimate mental problems right now as a very old lady. I feel bad for her in some instance, but they keep throwing her in the ring, so we have to keep, unfortunately, putting her down politically. This is Maxine Waters trying to figure out how she can get Donald Trump impeached.
So you were one of the first people who said that we need to impeach Trump.
Yes.
Woman is a mad woman.
Well, we still have a way to go. Impeachment is a big idea.
I mean, just look at her.
Many elected officials are just not ready.
It's a big mouth bass of a woman.
Actually, what
with a James Brown wig.
I have a
seriously. This woman is nuts.
I went through the impeachment.
Just look at her.
I served on the Judiciary Committee, and I know very well that the Congress of the United States can define what is impeachment and why they want to do it. It's not that
seriously. This is nuts.
One criminal law, certain criminal laws that have to be in place.
For our radio audience, Maxine Waters is literally going full-on bug-eyed look, like a staring contest, hasn't blinked, like seriously, just bugging out.
Good for the country, they can impeach you. And so I believe that he is someone that needs to be impeached. So
oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't laugh at Maxine Waters. She honestly, I don't know what she's suffering from. She obviously has some serious mental defects going on right now where she's literally bugging out. I mean, she's literally just totally bugging out. And just has no idea what's going on. I mean, clearly, Maxine, did you forget what happened with the impeachment vote this week? It was like 58 voted to impeach Trump and like 200 or 350 or something voted not to impeach Trump. Right. Okay. So Maxine Waters, though, she can, please let me hear from Maxine Waters on how Trump is unfit. Yeah. Let's go to Maxine Waters, a mentally deranged, bug-eyed, just really belongs in probably a mental institution. Yeah, let's listen to her on Trump. I mean, folks, do you realize that Trump is probably perhaps the only president in the history of this country that has never gotten drunk on alcohol or high on marijuana? Does he get any credit for that? Does President Trump get any credit for being the first sober president at all? Does he get anything for that? Oh, let's see, the effects of marijuana and alcohol on your brain. Let's see, alcohol literally kills your brain cells. They can never come back. And marijuana can impair your short-term memory. Trump's done none of that. Maxine Waters looks like she's just drugged out of her mind all the time, telling Trump he's unfit. Okay, so that's enough of Maxine Waters. Let's now go to Nancy Pelosi, guys. Let's go to clip 11 first. And she thinks that God is with her on the Dreamers Act. Well, I guess God is abandoning her right now, or perhaps not. I guess we'll find out. But here's Nancy Pelosi talking about the Dreamer Act.
Are you backing off your stance from last month where you said
there's
we
the
will
freeze
not
face
here in December?
Mental
a
defective
fix?
Number no. two out of California.
I stand by that statement. We will not leave here without a DACA fix. That's
oh, mind. Really?
Two questions on.
Pause it right there. I just want to. Hey, I just want to just watch. Just watch. She's not going to get the DACA fix. In fact, she's forgotten the Democrats already dropped the Clean DACA Act, so they're not even worried about that anymore. She must have forgotten that. She's got some mental impairments going on. But let's see if Nancy Pelosi doesn't leave until they get their DACA Act. I have a feeling that she's going to leave when they don't get the Clean DACA they want anyway. Go back to Nancy.
Have you changed your mind at all about being willing to accept some border wall funding?
Tax scam.
Or immigration crackdown.
This is incredible. You know what? Just pause it right here. Pause it right here real quick. I just want to address this while we're on it. I have to tell you, folks, I don't understand what's going on with this tax deal. It's very confusing. Now, beyond the fact that I'm just not a financial tax whiz or what have you, none of it makes sense because as I've been saying, my understanding of this tax bill from the beginning is that it looks like a Democrat liberal tax bill where they claim one thing and then it's really just saving the big guys money. That's what the Business Insider says today. The GOP tax bill could add billions to Amazon, Facebook, and Google's bottom lines. Okay. And that's how I've understood it the whole time. But if that's the case, why are Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and all these people freaking out about it? Is it all, see, that's what I'm saying. It's like Trump can literally say, here's $1 million, just take it. And they're like, oh, came from Trump. Nope. Nope, won't touch it. It came from Trump. So even when he gives them a tax deal that you think they would want, they still reject it. Let's go back to Crazy Nancy.
I don't know
when you say, have you changed your mind? We said to the president the night he agreed to the DACA legislation that we we have a responsibility to protect our border, and we think there are many things we can do.
This is the woman in California. Pause right there. This is a woman out of California that just let a five-time deported felon murder Kate Steinle and get away with it. Okay, yeah, you really care about protecting the borders, Nancy. Mm-hmm, go back.
I've been working in a bipartisan way to address that. So we're not backing off anything, and including meeting the needs of protecting our border. We're not going to turn this country into a reign of terror of domestic enforcement. Yeah,
unless you live in California.
And have the DACA, the Dreamers pay that price. But I'm optimistic. I always have been. God is with us on this. Our country is great.
Oh, yeah.
We know that greatness springs from the vitality that newcomers bring to our country. 80% at least of the American people support the Dreamers. And
all right, that's enough of that one. This is Nancy Pelosi. I think she's had too much Goat Hill pizza. Let's go to clip 13. This is just Nancy Pelosi going full-on creepazoid.
The children, what are the three most important issues facing the Congress? Our children, our children, our children. Again, their health, education, the economic security of their families. Listen to the children. Support the children. Let's give a shout-out for the children. The children, the children.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you were just listening to a cult ritual led by Nancy Pelosi.
The children,
Meanwhile, this is the same Democrat Party that still lobbies for abortion, which watch out what's coming from Planned Parenthood. Now, here's the final little ditty. Sean Hannity telling crazy Joe Scarborough he'll pay for his therapy.
Finally tonight, over at Conspiracy TV, MSNBC, Crazy Liberal Joe and his cohorts over at that network, well, they're at it again, now stooping to a new low, attacking and trying to discredit the president in a segment only Chicken Little could be proud of. Liberal Joe and his panel of never
Chicken Little Joe, I kind of like that.
Had a collective meltdown during some deranged and reckless speculation about the president's health. Watch this.
He is clearly slurring his words. I don't know what the cause of it is.
Oh, I couldn't believe this.
The question of his fitness, of his stability is in the air.
This is unreal, man.
At the beginning of the speech, before the slurring started, I said, Mika, look at him. This is not the person that we
All right, we got to go to break. Yeah, all the liberal media was saying Trump slurred his Jerusalem speech. No, he didn't. Did you listen? But then Sean Hannity goes on to offer Psycho Joe... Ah, yes, the beautiful Charlie Brown Christmas, which you can't say now because Christmas is too triggering. So they've renamed it a Charlie Brown Holiday. No, it's Christmas. It's a Christmas tree. And that's just good music. Well, I found this video on Twitter. It's essentially what I'm calling a dream machine. And the advertisement is for a headband. Go ahead and roll the B-roll, guys, that makes you lucid dream. So you put this headband on, and while you're sleeping, it flashes different colors and different light patterns and everything to help you dream more lucidly. And there they have all their stats and everything. They're talking about it, and it's cool, whatever. It's hip, it's trendy. Go incept your friends or enemies, what have you. Well, folks, I'll just say this. If they can trick your mind with light patterns and flashes and colors when your eyes are closed, imagine what they can do when your eyes are open. And don't forget how long it took for the television to be released to the public. What do you think they were doing behind closed doors, practicing on the flicker rates of the television? So just thought I'd leave that one out there. Now, we are well aware of all the attacks on our humanity at InfoWars here. And so what we do is we combat the toxic environment with products at InfoWarsStore.com. And not only are we providing you options and solutions to the toxic environment. We're also giving you an outlet to help us remain independent in our operation. That's InfoWarsStore.com. The latest product to InfoWarsStore.com is Alpha Power. We're bringing that to you at an introductory rate of 50% off. So try the new Alpha Power at InfoWarsStore.com. 50% off introductory rate right now at InfoWarsStore.com. But if you are particularly worried about the toxic environment, I have to suggest checking out our water filters, checking out our air filters, even shower heads to filter the fluoride water that comes in the shower. Folks, this is a no-brainer. As soon as you become privy to all of the toxics in the air, in the water, in the food, it's a no-brainer. It's basically the instinct of self-preservation to filter your water and your air. And then also to use supplements like Survival Shield X2 to combat all of the fluoride in our environment. So I urge you, please protect yourself from the toxic environment. Go to InfoWarsStore.com, get the water filters, get the air filters. There's a ton of specials right now. This is how you can protect yourself and your family from the toxic environment that they try to pretend doesn't exist. Well, it exists. We're well aware of it. We've done the studies. We've done the deep research. And now we provide to you options and solutions on how to combat the toxic environment with water filters, air filters, and supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. And also at the same time, combat the fake news by keeping us independent and expansionary at InfoWarsStore.com. All right, I've got a stack of news here. I hope I can get through it all. I doubt it, but let's go ahead and try this news blitz. Now, I'm so triggered by this. See, you just had Nancy Pelosi tell us that she cares about the children. They're the party for the children, even though, did you know, I believe it's over a trillion babies have been aborted now worldwide. So there's a trillion children killed because of abortion, and Nancy Pelosi is behind that. But Planned Parenthood has now gone to new lows, if you can believe that or not. Yes, Planned Parenthood that chops up and sells baby parts illegally, murders children, yes, that Planned Parenthood has now gone to a new low. This is a tweet from Planned Parenthood in which they shared a blog, I guess, about a woman who says, there's no difference between a woman who aborts her baby and a woman who miscarries her baby. The exact tweet is, there is a common misconception that the mom who miscarries is a very different person than the woman who aborts, but I'm here to say there is no difference. If that is not the most despicable, disgusting, abhorrent thing, other than actually chopping up and murdering babies like Planned Parenthood does, folks, do you know how many women try their entire life to have a child and then can't because of a miscarriage? Just to have the blessing of giving life to earth and to experience the thrill of parenthood and being a mother and giving birth, and Planned Parenthood literally just takes a huge dump on you, saying that you're no different than someone that has an abortion? I'm so speechless. I'm so offended by this insensitivity and intolerance. I mean, this is beyond the pale, folks. To say that there's no difference between a woman that miscarries and a woman that aborts, I'm not even here to attack a woman that aborts. All I'm saying is this is so insensitive to the women out there who've tried to have a child and miscarried it and now suffer every day having to live through that. You are sick, Planned Parenthood. You are truly sick. And the only thing sicker than the fact that you still exist is the fact that we still fund you. I mean, my God. I knew I wouldn't be able to get through this news. But thank God President Trump hopefully is going to do something about Planned Parenthood. It needs to be shut down immediately, or at least force them to operate without taxpayer dollars. This breaks today. Planned Parenthood under investigation by Justice Department over sale of fetal tissue. Well, it's about damn time. They were caught on tape admitting to breaking the law, laughing at killing and selling baby parts. Folks, I just want to urge everybody listening right now to pray that we stop killing children in this country, that we stop abortion, but more importantly, whether you can or not politically stop people from aborting their baby, we have to stop funding Planned Parenthood. This is such an abomination in the eyes of God. This is such an abomination in the eyes of anything that's good and righteous on earth. And for Planned Parenthood, not only for Planned Parenthood to use their abortuaries to encourage abortion and then sell the baby parts for profit, but to then compare women that abort their baby to women that have a miscarriage, you are truly sick. You are truly sick. But I'm not surprised that an industry that kills children would be sick. The crew is pulling this story up for me. Abortion rises risk of miscarriage of subsequent pregnancy 60%. See, and then they use that to say that they're the same people, even though it's the abortion that leads to miscarriage. Wow, this is even sicker than I thought originally. This is them trying to get out ahead of the fact they're causing miscarriages. Please, God, just please, God, shut this down immediately. This needs to be shut down. All right, let's really get this news blitz here. 2.5 minutes left. We pray thoughts and prayers to all the people in California dealing with these wildfires. I still think it's arson. It doesn't make sense. The brave firefighters that are out there fighting this, just salute to you. California also dealing with earthquakes now as well. They're still trying to deal with all the Democrats that have destroyed that great state. Oh, it's crazy. Dina Powell is going to be departing her role as Deputy National Security Advisor. That, to me, is a rat leaving a sinking ship. Al Franken says that he is going to consider resigning in the coming weeks. Is that a cop-out? Because if Roy Moore wins, he's going to stay? We'll wait and see. Trump says Jerusalem is the capital, and they're going to move the U.S. Embassy there. And just like before Trump announced that, Palestinians are still burning American flags and Israeli flags and rioting. That's what they were doing before, so no change there. Trump jobs numbers out, unemployment hitting record lows for all people, and 2.2 million new jobs since the election. I guess Trump found that magic wand that President Obama said didn't exist. This is big. This should be all over the news. Roy Moore accuser Beverly Nelson admits she forged yearbook signature. This is key. This is a precedent in legal battles that now destroys this entire case against Roy Moore and shows you who Gloria Allred really is. She just scorched the earth for any victim of sexual assault to come forward. All right, this is kind of complex, and I want to get into this a little bit. And unfortunately, I don't think I'm going to really get to the rest of the news, but Drew Brees is head of a players union in the NFL. He just ripped the NFL for Thursday night games, which if you're a fan of the NFL, you know why that's bad for the players. But the NFL has just renewed Roger Goodell's contract. I don't understand how that's possible. The NFL is burning to the ground because of Roger Goodell. What blackmail does Roger Goodell have on the owners? That's what I like to know. Let's see if anything else here is worth covering before we get off here. Yeah, okay, whistling at women is now going to be a crime in London. Florida, who is it? Mayor Davenport, Mayor Darlene Bradley arrested for taking dead people's handicap placards. That's a crazy one. You know what? I won't get to the rest of this. Just I love all of you out there. God bless you, and you stay classy, Info Warriors.